Good morning, Symphony Church. My name is Dan, and I'll be guiding us this week as we continue in our journey through 1 Thessalonians. I love this book. Just total disclaimer, I'm a huge Paul fanboy, so this is going to be fun. Just a quick preface, as I was reading through these passages, I was really inspired, actually, by how Paul's encouragements really translate to application. So I'll be trying something a little new, at least for me, and I'm going to be leaving some time after the Devo for us to set some practical daily next steps. So think of this week as sort of a mini boot camp of sorts. But enough of me talking. Let me read us 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, 17 to 3, 5. But since we were torn away from you, brothers, for a short time, in person, not in heart, we endeavored the more eagerly and with great desire to see you face to face, because we wanted to come to you, I, Paul, again and again, but Satan hindered us. For what is our hope or joy or crown of boasting before our Lord Jesus at his coming? Is it not you? For you are our glory and joy. Therefore, when we could bear it no longer, we were willing to be left behind at Athens alone, and we sent Timothy, our brother and God's co-worker in the gospel of Christ, to establish and exhort you in your faith, that no one be moved by these afflictions. For you yourselves know that we are destined for this. For when we were with you, we kept telling you beforehand that we were to suffer affliction, just as it has come to pass, and just as you know. For this reason, when I could bear it no longer, I sent to learn about your faith, for fear that somehow the tempter had tempted you and our labor would be in vain. So just as a recap, Paul and his cohort are writing to the church in Thessalonica after being chased out. And this is the being torn away that he refers to in verse 17. And this is Paul's first real correspondence to them since then. At this point, they haven't been able to reunite in person, and despite the Thessalonians really burning for Christ during his stay, Paul is anxious to hear about how they've fared since. And we can tell that Paul desperately wanted to be there with the Thessalonians instead of just writing to them. He says in verse 17 that he endeavored eagerly and with great desire to see them face to face. And actually, he tries multiple times to see them face to face, but we see that he was hindered by Satan. So why does Paul go through so much, both in his actions and in his heart, for these Thessalonians? Why were they worth the endeavoring and desiring? Let's read verses 19 through 20. To this question, Paul would respond, "Well, what is our hope or joy or crown of boasting before our Lord Jesus at his coming? Is it not you? For you are our glory and joy." I could honestly cry as I read this. It's such a beautiful declaration of love and of care. The Thessalonians were Paul's treasure. Paul writes that when he stands before Jesus, he would point at the Thessalonians and say to his Savior, "Look, there are the brothers and sisters that filled me with hope and joy. Out of everything I experienced in life, they are the crown that I bring to you." To Paul, the people he met in Thessalonica weren't projects. They weren't targets for evangelism or even acquaintances in his mission work. They became his closest friends, his family. I could almost see him jump up and down in excitement as he witnessed these brothers and sisters grow in Christ. And I can almost see him weep with mourning as he was separated from them. These weren't mild relationships, not by a long shot. These were life-giving, joy-filling, praise-inspiring relationships that Paul had with the church in Thessalonica. And the result of this is a responsibility that Paul feels, a responsibility to walk alongside the Thessalonians as they keep going in their faith journeys. We see this in verse 2 of chapter 3, where Paul sends Timothy to establish and exhort them in their faith. Even when separated, Paul gladly shouldered this burden of caring for his friends. He did everything he could to make sure that... Even when separated, Paul gladly shouldered this burden of caring for his friends. He did everything he could to make sure that they would be encouraged and built up and strengthened. He knew that there would be a time where the Thessalonians would suffer affliction. We see him refer to this in verses 3 and 4. And he held fast to his duty to be by their side as much as he could. When I read this passage, it makes me consider my friendships. It makes me reflect on all the brothers and sisters I had the joy of meeting and serving and loving during my 6 years in Boston. It reminds me of the treasure waiting for me in the form of precious friendships and the laughter and encouragement and support and accountability that they bring. It makes me want to love them like Christ. Today, I want to challenge you to make the brothers and sisters you have in Christ your glory and joy. Take some time to remember them, cherish them. And taking after Paul's example, let's accept this responsibility to walk alongside them and spur them on in their faith journeys. And let's do that gladly. You know, I'll give us some time to think about these things before I close, but I hope you can set a small practical step to take today. Maybe it's checking in on them and asking them how their relationship with Christ is. Maybe it's surprising them with words of encouragement or a small gift. Maybe it's setting aside time to pray for them. You know, these friendships are so important to us as we do his work, and I'm sure God has made it that way for a reason. You know, we weren't meant to walk alone. So regardless of what these small steps may be, I hope you can ask God to guide you as you pray about these things and listen to the Spirit as he responds. So let's go to him in prayer. Lord, we just thank you for the friendships that you have blessed us with, the brothers and sisters that we have seen alongside us, who have supported us, who have encouraged us, who have been praying for us. Lord, I pray that, you know, as we serve, as we chase after you, as we are part of the church, that we not do it alone. I pray that the relationships that we build are not relationships out of obligation, but that the friendships that we form as we chase after you can be life-giving, can be so full of joy, can be so encouraging to us. And Lord, I pray that that could start in our own hearts, that we could be such a blessing to the brothers and sisters in our lives, that we can take active steps to nurture these friendships. Lord, I pray that our lives can just be full of amazing friendship, that we can laugh with them and cry with them, Lord. And most importantly, I pray that you be at the center of it all, that when we look at our friends, we see Jesus, and that when they look at us, they see Jesus. Lord, help us get there. We're imperfect. We're prone to fight and to misunderstand and to be prideful, but I just pray that we can set those aside instead and see each other as a treasure, Lord, as our glory and as our joy. So we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.